tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers' show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with Emily Cobble and James Anderson from the Marion County Park District. And we're talking about things outdoors. And nothing indoors, really. I guess when you think about it, you won't find many snakes or birds indoors.
Unless they're in your basement, right?
That's right. Right. Well, Emily, explain to our listeners, too. You are employed now with the Park District. Now, how long do you think you'll be around?
My internship is for 12 weeks. Okay. But I actually didn't even know about, like, the Park District, but I've been walking the trails for quite a few years.
Really?
And then, yeah, and then I had no idea, and then one day I saw someone shared it on Facebook, and I was like, oh, whoa. So then I followed them, and then they posted about the internship, and then here I am.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And you studied over at Mount Vernon College or Nazarene College?
University now.
University. Yeah. Oh, that means they have that many more attending.
Yep, they changed it from the MVNC to the MVNU now.
Wow, okay, yeah. A relative of mine just graduated from there this year.
Yeah.
And they had quite a large class, didn't
they? Yeah, yep.
Okay, so... Now, what will your job be at the Tallgrass Trail and the Park District itself?
Well, I'm doing different programs, so that's the main focus, is just coming up with different programs and then also helping out with his programs and the other events that we have.
Okay.
So
James, you'll be around at different events the rest of the summer, won't you?
That's right. Yeah, we're going to actually be pretty busy.
Sounds like it.
With some of the community events. River Valley, they just started, you know, the lunch program.
Yes, that's right.
So we're going to be at all the different locations for June and July.
Oh, really? Well, that's good.
And, so I just got that all scheduled last night. The city of Marion's doing something as Sawyer Park.
Yes,
we're going to be part of the Farmers Market and Founders Park. So, yeah, we're trying to get our name out there this summer.
Emily, you'll get really a lot of experience.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And, of course, Marion Fair, we'll be there for the fair.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. Wow.
And we're going to be outside again this year, so we're quite excited.
Well, that's good.
I don't know where we're going to be located. Hopefully where we were last year by the grandstands. That was a really good spot to be.
Yeah, great. Okay. So, yeah, I don't think the station will be at the fair this year.
Okay.
So I'll be able to come out and see you and talk to you.
That's right. You can. We'd love to see you.
Yeah. Oh, my. Okay, so, James, you've been... too. It's a library and different locations putting on programs.
Yeah, last month, I did a wild edible medicinal plant program. That was well attended. We had about almost 25 people that came.
Speaking of medicinal plants, along the roadsides, you know, there are these flowers blooming.
Yeah.
And the name is Dame's Rockets.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
And they are medicinal. I mean, they have medicinal qualities. I think the flowers.
Okay.
And they're an invasive plant. They came from Asia or somewhere years ago. But they're everywhere now.
Yes.
And I really treasure them. And the other day, I was in my pasture, and I looked over my fence, and there was a whole field full of them.
Another nickname is peppergrass, field peppergrass.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, there are those few they can come in whites, pinks, or purples.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they're very... beautiful.
Oh,
and that Tallgrass Trail, it's funny, in different sections, there's some that it covers up, and then other areas where it's not there.
Yeah. So if you type in on a search, Dame's Rockets, these flowers will come up, And then it will list, different names for them.
Yeah.
But Dame's Rockets, and I don't know how that name came about, but I'm sure it would explain.
It's funny about that with plants. It's just they have so many different names. And like you were talking earlier about the Latin names, because yes. they say consistent, that's always easier to remember versus common names.
Right.
Depending on region where you are. And what generation you're talking to, one person can call it this, another person call it that, and it's the exact same thing.
And everything gets all mixed up.
Yes, that's why like Walmart and Lowe's and all, they have, when the lawn and garden people, they have to know Latin names they're ordering.
Because
common names is all so mixed up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, my dad, he used to work at Hart's in Mount Vernon and also in Delaware. And so when he used to work the outdoor lawn garden, he had to know the scientific names. He told me about what he used to do.
That's practical. Yeah. The Latin names for, just like in medicine.
Yeah.
Think of all the different names for medicines.
Yeah, yep.
But until you get it down to the Latin description.
That's right.
Wow, okay. Now, I used to do garden programs with a man who could almost speak in Latin.
I know a few people. Yeah. It's a dead language, basically.
Right, and he had taught botany in a college, I think, and boy, he could he could tell you the Latin name before the common name.
Yeah, it's funny. It's dead, but it's if you're in nature or wildlife, it's like it's the only field that uses it the most.
Yes, right. Okay. Now there's a. Do you ever work with Bob?
Bob Clips?
Yes.
Just usually during the Christmas bird count program is when I work with him.
He's an interesting person.
Oh, he is, yes.
You could walk through a field of weeds and he could explain.
Oh, and his lichens, yeah, he's very good at it. Yeah. I only know a couple species, but he helped wrote the publication for the ODNR.
Okay.
He's one of the authors with that one, but boy, yeah, he's very intelligent when it comes to lichens.
Yeah, and one time I was out with Clips and... Richard, what's his name?
Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley. And you get those two together.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was something.
Yeah, now they're both retired.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, Bob Clip, he retired a year or two ago from OSU.
Yeah, you wonder what a person does after they retire.
Well, Bob Clips, he actually is going around all Ohio documenting the different lichens and mosses.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
So he's keeping busy.
And every now and then the ODNR puts out findings of different plants that were more or less unknown.
Yeah.
And they're finding them here and there.
Yeah, well, it's because of people like him, because, ODNR can't focus on everything.
Yes,
so luckily,
right.
When you get retired professors who need something to do, they kind of lean on that.
Right. So, Emily, you've got a great future ahead of you, too, carrying it through this... And what do you eventually want to be?
I want to be a park ranger. I really want to travel a lot. And then I've always been interested in the law enforcement side, but have always loved nature. And then when I learned you could combine them, that's when I knew. I was like, this is...
That's
great.
Yes. Yeah. And there was a local man, Mr. Runnels. I don't know if he's still with ODNR or not, but he used to bring me the groundhog every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they
Bill. Yeah, Bill Runnels.
Yeah, Bill Runnels.
Yeah, I've met him. He works at the prosecutor's office
now. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And he was so good. He would bring the box with a groundhog in it from Deer Creek Lake State Park. And they would keep it there every year to bring it up and open it up. And surprisingly, it was never mean. And usually when they come out of hibernation... They're not too friendly.
You were there this year at the Morrow Camp. Boy, that one was
vicious. Yeah, right.
He wasn't the happiest camper.
Yeah. It came from where? Richwood or something?
No, somewhere on Green Camp. Exotic place around Green Camp. Yeah. Kosciuszko. I can't pronounce it right.
Okay. There was one next door to... every time I look out and see a groundhog, I think of Buckeye Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
and think, too... They're not tame, that they'll bite your finger off.
Oh yeah, they will. They can do some damage. I've seen some damage on dogs.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
And then their burrows, they make underground. A tractor tire could actually sink into that tunnel.
Yep.
And it's been known for tractors actually to overturn.
Yeah, And I hear a lot of horse farmers hate them because they'll break their legs. And,
oh, sure.
A lot of times you might have to put your horse down or what. Yeah. I've heard in several cases.
Isn't that something? The groundhog. Yeah. Buckeye Chuck.
Yeah. He's a nuisance in some areas.
Yeah, I guess I told you, too. One time I was talking about the groundhog, and the lady called me and said, have you ever eaten one? I said, no. She came out with a whole bowl of cooked groundhog.
Oh, yeah?
And stood there while I ate it.
No, you had to put your smiley face on.
That was something. I'll never forget that either.
I tell you, you've tried all kinds of things, yeah. Charlie.
And the same way with the ginkgo tree.
Oh, yeah.
The fruit of the ginkgo.
You're brave.
Yeah, I saw in the Columbus Dispatch once, they showed a lady, Oriental lady from Canada, was in Columbus picking up ginkgo fruit. And I thought, what on earth? And she had something about tea. Well, I mentioned that on the air, and somebody in Marion picked up a whole sack full of ginkgo fruit and brought it out to the radio station and put it under my nose and opened it up.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, terrible. Awful. So then I took the and put them under water and squeezed off the outer covering from the, down to the shell, and then I put them in a microwave and heated them up. And then crunched them up and drank the tea.
I bet your microwave smelled pretty good.
But and all of a sudden, I felt like I was in a fever.
Oh,
my body temperature must have been going sky high from that tea from the ginkgo tree.
Did you hallucinate the pink elephants like from Dumbo? Or what?
Nearly. But yeah, this is one of those interesting things, though. You can do in a lifetime.
Yeah.
If you survive.
Like I said, you're brave. That's all I have to say.
And, only the female ginkgo tree has fruit.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, well, naturally, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of tree or plant species are like that, but the females are making the fruits or nuts and the males don't.
That's right.
And some species, but they have both male and female parts.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, a lot of your evergreen.
There's a term for that, isn't there?
Asexual.
Asexual, okay.
Yeah. Buckeye trees. Are an example of that.
Okay. We're getting in the human thing, too. We're getting a lot of wannabe asexuals. That's another field. Okay. Well, Emily, it's about break time. We're going to break here for a minute or so and be right back with Emily Cobble and James Anderson, Marion County Park District. And if you have any questions, don't just sit there. Call 740-383-9944. It's now 11:30.
Hey, Charlie. Did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie, what is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
We're back once again with James Anderson and Emily Cobble, Marion County Park District. Whoop. If you heard something in your radio, it's only my earphones falling off. Gotta send away to China and get a new pair.
There you go.
Okay, now, James Anderson, you've got a lot of activities scheduled for this summer.
Yes.
And for the month of June coming up.
Yes, well, we sure do.
June's only a day away.
That's right, it is.
Okay, tell us what's coming up.
All right, so we have several things coming up with the Marion County Park District. Our preschool programs will start every Friday. Now, we won't do it on June 7th, but it'll start on the 14th, and it'll be from 10 to 11:30. And it's for 3 to 5 year olds, but if you got some that are a little younger, a little older, they're more than welcome to come out. It's free. An adult must be present for the program, but we'll do different nature games, activities, crafts.
Okay, where will this be held?
All at the Tallgrass Trail at the trailhead.
Good. Okay.
So, yeah. So on the first, so this Saturday, Miss Emily's going to be doing a bird watching program at the Tallgrass Trail, starting at the trailhead at 8 o'clock in the morning. On June 4th, she will be doing a kids' nature craft at the trail at the trailhead underneath the shelter house from 10 to noon. So she'll be doing some leaf rubbing, some painting with leaves. On the 6th, she will be doing a wildlife tips and tricks presentation at the Tallgrass Trail at the trailhead. So there's two options. You can do either 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. Then we have June 8th, our big paleontology in the park. So that's the big dinosaur offense.
Paleontology. Yeah, that's another one of those Latin words.
That's right. So if you're not familiar with paleontology, it's the study of prehistoric animals, so dinosaurs, mammoths, things like that. And we're going to actually real paleontologists. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, a real?
Yeah, from OSU.
Oh.
Yep. So Wayne Fowler, he's the guy that really runs this program. It's from 1 to 5 p.m.
Will he bring some artifacts with him?
Yeah. And you actually, if you participate in most of the activities, right. You get a little fossil.
Oh, good.
Like the little shells. Sure. So, yeah, it's pretty fun. So, again, all ages are welcome. It's a really great time. On the 11th, we're going to be starting our insect collection. So, help us collect some insects for our box. This will be at Tallgrass Trail at the Foundation Lake at 2 o'clock p.m.
In collecting insects. Yeah, are there any insects you have to be kind of careful of? With stinging?
Oh yeah, I mean of course, yeah, your bees, yeah, bees and wasps.
Well, yeah, that type, yeah.
Okay. Now there are of course a lot of the beetles. They'll bite and all, but yeah, I mean, you handle them properly, you'll be okay.
What about the beetle that has like two eyes on its back? Isn't there?
There's like the click beetle.
It, the click beetle. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They do click.
Mm-hmm. They do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when they're upset, yeah, they make that clicking, and then they flip upside down.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Okay. Go ahead.
On June 13th, we'll be doing a bird watching program at the Teradice Nature Reserve, starting at 10 a.m. Again, the 14th, that's when our preschool program will start from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Later on that night, it's our first night hike for the year. So we'll be doing different nighttime experiments. It'll start at 9:30 p.m. Please bring a red flashlight only. We'll explain that later on, why only a red flashlight, but all ages are welcome to come. So that's a really great time. We do a lot of fun experiments.
Dude, wouldn't it be nice if somebody could contribute one of those bat receivers?
I actually have a friend. I'm actually going to if I can, from Morrow County.
Oh,
right. They're at Headwaters. I'm going to see if we could borrow hers for a program.
Oh, that'd
be
great, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really neat on how it's able to get that.
Right.
So on June 17th, it's kind of like a birding 101. Let's learn how to bird watch at Tallgrass Trail. That'll start at 8 in the morning, so she'll kind of do a presentation, then go out on the trail. It's kind of for older adults, older kids that are welcome to come. On June 18th, fishing program at Tallgrass Trail. So that's at the Foundation Lake. You meet at the Herd Road parking lot. That'll be at 5 o'clock p.m. But please make sure you're 16 or older, must have a fishing license. Anybody under the age of 16, you do not.
Oh, 16. Okay.
Yeah, 16 or above, you have to have a license.
Oh, okay.
On the 19th, we'll be doing another insect collection program. This will be at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve at 2 o'clock. On the 20th, we'll be at the Farmers Market at Founders Park from 4 to 7. On the 21st, we'll be doing our preschool program again from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Later on that day, Emily's going to do a first day of summer celebration. So doing a hike and color scavenger hunt at the Tallgrass Trail at the trailhead. This will be at 6 o'clock p.m., so kid preschoolers to junior high age is welcome to come. And, it's a great family event, so bring the kids out. On the 22nd, the Marion, Ohio Weather is going to be doing their summer hike series. This time it'll be at the Greensburg Nature Preserve from 12 to 2 p.m. If you're not sure where that park is located, it's right off 203, right across from where the old power plant used to be. So kind of in the corner of Route 4 and 203.
Okay, now you mentioned weather. Who's the resource?
Sack Fuller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that does our weather.
Yeah. He's part of, you know, the Marion, Ohio Weather, and he's going to be we started last Saturday at the trailhead, and mm-hmm. we're going to explore all of our other parks and also the different sections of the trail.
Great.
We're really happy to partner with mm-hmm. him with that program. The 25th, I'll be doing a basic survival tip program at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve at 5 o'clock p.m. So just learn how to basic small shelters, you know, just some things to keep in mind if you ever get lost in a forest setting. On the 26th, we'll be having our Friends of the Prairie Park meeting at downstairs at the Historical Society Building, downstairs at Heritage Hall, 7 o'clock p.m. 27th, we'll be back with you, Charlie, from 10 to noon. Later on that day, I'll be doing a wild edible medicinal plant program at the Tallgrass Trail at the Shelter House at 5 o'clock. And then the 28th is our last preschool program for 10 to 11:30 for the month. So, yeah, we got a lot of
Sounds like it. Emily, you're going to be put to work.
I'm excited.
We just uploaded this on the Facebook page yesterday. This morning, Dan and I, well, we're at the county building. We just put it on our website. So
great.
You Google in Marion County, Ohio Park District, make sure
Ohio,
you put in Ohio because
yes.
a lot
You'll
of
You'll get Indiana
Marians.
If you don't.
Yes. just please make sure that or keep in mind that programs can be canceled due to the weather.
Sure.
And we do cancel on the Tallgrass Trail and the Park District Facebook
Marion page. County, Ohio Park District.
District, yes.
Okay. And that's all you need to do. And then, too, if you're on Facebook, you'll see postings from time to time of people that take pictures at the Tallgrass Trail.
Yeah, so and we also encourage it doesn't have to be from the trail as long as it's somewhere in Marion County.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of people who take pictures at Big Island Wildlife Area, so we just like to show people, you know, of the wildlife that's, you know, basically in a lot of our backyards.
Yeah. Emily, have you seen the eagles?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
They're awesome. The road that Elgin High School is on, if you keep going towards Lake Road, there's a lot of bald eagles out there.
No kidding?
Yes.
Isn't that something since the elimination of DDT?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, your generation, I mean, you probably, you know, grew up not seeing many, not just bald eagles, but a lot of animals, but bald eagles had a really great comeback.
When I was growing up, DDT was our savior.
Yeah.
No mosquitoes and no...
We had to worry about malaria.
That's
and all.
Right. But they started saying, strange, the eagle's shells are thin or, you know, and not producing. And that was the... It's amazing how that got into our environment so heavily.
And it wasn't just... eagles. That was a lot of our birds of prey. A lot of the hawks, ospreys.
That's right.
Were affected by it. Some of the owl species were affected by it.
And so that's why we have eagles coming back, and a lot of other species too. Apparently.
Yeah, I think I've told you this before. In 1975, how many pairs of bald eagles do you think were left in the state of Ohio?
Oh, probably two or three.
Yep, it was about four.
Is that right?
Yep, and mainly up by Lake Erie.
Wow, isn't that
so? Kind of like the otters I talked about. We actually had to grab eagles from other states, mainly Alaska, because Alaska wasn't using a lot of DDT because Alaska is not an agricultural state. And also, too, with the U.S. Forest or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and also the Columbus Zoo was a big contributor. A lot of different zoos around the country.
Wow.
But yeah, we've been able to bring them back. In 2007, they were taken off the endangered species list.
I couldn't get over when I did an Alaskan tour. It's been 20 years ago. I saw the bald eagles all over the place. And all the trees.
Yes.
Land.
And it was funny. Here, you know, we're like amazed to see a bald eagle in the wild. But in Alaska, the people I've talked to, some of them consider it a nuisance.
Yeah. And I once saw the snowy owl.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at him right smack dab in the face, sitting on a post.
Well, last year, the snowy owl hanged around in her area.
Oh,
right?
Really?
I have a couple pictures of it. It was amazing to see it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, around Epsyville. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know because that's near where one was spotted years ago.
Yeah.
There was one it was sitting on the guardrail along Route 95 in a Big Island Wildlife Area.
Yeah, this one was sitting on a post on 95 right from when you're going to you're on Espyville and you're going to go over the railroad track. And I was driving, and I turned around and went and got my camera because it was amazing.
Oh, that's great. I once saw a rooster, or no,
a pheasant.
Pheasant, yeah, right there at that same place down the ditch. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last pheasant I've ever seen.
Oh, we see and hear pheasants a lot at
Is
the
that
trail.
Right? Yes. Well, that's good.
Especially around the 203.
There's a lot of pheasants on my road. I live on Cider right off of Espyvale. You see them right there all the time.
Yeah, because pheasants are not native.
Nope. They're originating from China.
Yeah, isn't that something? Something free from China.
That's right.
Boy, oh boy.
But you know what's funny about that? We, you know, when we started that introduction program in the late 40s, early 50s, they were not very successful at first. Because I was kind of at the time when farmers were starting to decide to get rid of fence rows. Now, not all farmers did, but some of them were. And I don't know what it was, but it's just a big push. And then when Pheasants Forever, you know, started and originated, then there was more of that bigger push. And now you can find them in most of Ohio.
That's something I can still hear. When a pheasant takes off, I can still hear the whining.
Yeah, they make that really unique sound.
Yeah, right. Boy. And I've eaten more than one pheasant. Which most people haven't, you know, in hunting. I used to get, when I was a kid, an occasional pheasant. Of course, I can remember, too, and how impressive it can be when you're working with young people like you two. I was out hunting all day long on this farm. It happened to be a friend of my dad's. And I was I don't know how old I was. All day long, I didn't get a thing. And when I got back to the farmhouse, this man came out and said, "Well, kid, what'd you get today?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Well, I tell you what. See that chicken up in my tree there? It was a chicken in a tree." He said, "If you can shoot that, you can have it."
Oh, geez.
And I did. And we ate chicken the next day.
Well, there you go.
You know, but you can make an impression on young people so easy.
Yeah.
Lasting impressions that can be there all their life. So you guys got a great job ahead of you.
It's funny you say that. You know, so when I go to schools or community events, I bring like furs and skulls. And,
yes.
Of course, my big thing we got a bucket of fake poop. And sometimes I'll be at Walmart or something and say, "Hey, you're the guy that had the fake poop." And it's like the stuff they'll remember the most.
They'll remember that always. Yeah. Isn't that something? But, yeah, you can be such a great impression. Like when I was a kid, too, I used to like to stand by a railroad crossing out in the country and watch and look at locomotives when they would stop for clearance. And one time an engineer yelled at me, "Hey, kid, come over here." And he had me come up in his engine and explained everything to
me.
Really?
Oh, that would be really neat.
Yeah, really. I'll never forget that. So, and then one time at Bucyrus, we used to have the U.S. Open. It was a drum and bugle corps competition in Marion.
Okay.
And we couldn't house everybody because we had so many corps coming from all over the country that in Bucyrus we housed the California Vanguards. And I went down to see them rehearsing in a field. And one of the players, you know, a little boy walked up to him and he said, handed his horn to him. He said, "Here, try it." And I can only imagine how impressed that kid was.
Oh,
Scott, you know I love fruitcake so much that for me it's not just a Christmas dessert.
Oh, Charlie, I would not want it any time of the year.
Oh, Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake. And, the possibilities are endless.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Emily Cobble and James Anderson, Marion County Park District. Okay, now the Park District, what about Terradice? What's happening at Terradice which is along the Olentangy River.
Yeah, so that's one of our sister facilities. So that's what's nice about Paradise, Greensboro, and Myers Woods is, again, it's the loop trail, so you can end where you start.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so, and it's a nice wooded, secluded area. So if you kind of like that atmosphere, I always highly recommend people to explore those parks.
Now, Paradise, you acquire by turning west off of 746.
Yes.
And I often wonder, do those people that live down there, hopefully they think you're just going to enjoy the park.
I mean, I assume. I mean, they. Yeah. I mean, we haven't had any complaints from the locals.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be no one traveling except the owners of those homes.
Yes, yeah.
But down when you get down the end, there's a shelter.
Yes, it's got about six, eight picnic tables you can have.
Okay, there any fireplaces or anything?
No.
They have to do your own.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's all kinds of wild creatures to be found there.
Oh, yeah. A lot of unique wildlife with the warblers, you know, them and migrating through. If you did want to travel to McGee Marsh, I always tell people, go to Paradise. Paradise
is... Yeah, sounds like it.
Lola Pryor, which she doesn't live far away from you. She... Brocklesby, I think
she's... Okay, Brocklesby, sure.
She's from...
You know, I've got a painting made by Mary Brocklesby.
Okay.
Years ago when she was alive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she comes to Terada and she gets a lot of amazing photos.
Oh, good. Okay.
And a lot of them is the warblers.
Yeah. And she'll put them, too, on Facebook, and that's really nice.
Yeah. So we're always glad and appreciative because, you know, like I said, I always like people when they go out to other places, or especially our other sister facilities,
right.
And they'll take pictures.
Anything. Now, Greensboro is a neat little place there along...
Yeah.
Route 4 going into, let's see.
It's off of 203, but it's right in the corner of Route 4, yeah.
Yeah, 203 and 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now...
that was John Watkins' property.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Now, Charlton Myers donated Myers Woods.
Yeah, that was our first park.
Is there anything outstanding in Myers Woods? I mean, as far as the vegetation goes?
There's a lot of unique wildflower species. Now, right now, the Trillium's already done, but... during the early spring, mid-spring, a lot of trilliums cover the forest floor in certain areas. A lot of Jack in the Pulpit. We have several patches of that. I always like it because it's right across from Killdeer. A lot of
a lot of
unique birds. I've heard of some of the different sparrows. I've heard of Siphania sparrows around there. The scarlet tanager. Just a lot of unique bird species.
I've only seen one scarlet tanager in my life.
Really?
Ed Lux and I were walking through a woods once, and we stopped, and there was a tanager right in front of us.
Yeah, I love the scarlet tanager because they make that chickpea.
Yeah, and interesting. I've got a lot of bird sounds on my smartphone.
Oh, yeah.
As I play. It must really confuse them, the birds. They never react so much to it.
Well, it depends on the breeding season. Especially with cardinals, if you're doing February and March, if you play it, they'll come by and they'll fly around. They'll try to find where you are because they think you're a cardinal. And well, in my night hikes, one of my experiments I do is I have a CD player and I call in owls.
Yes.
Well, owls aren't the smartest bird if you compare it to the scale, and so they're very easy to confuse. And boy, it's once you get the screech owls started, they usually just keep going and keep going.
Yeah. And then let's see, then there's the great horned owl.
Oh yeah, and the barred owl.
But the barred owl, what is his?
The barred owl is a who cooks for you? Or who cooks for you? My joke is nobody.
Yeah, right.
But we have several barred owls and great horns at the at Paradise.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now, Emily, maybe I asked you before. What's your favorite area out in the great outdoors? What you like the insects
and the birds?
And the birds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those are my two favorite.
Okay, what kind of birds do you like to find?
I love to find the warblers, and I also like the owls and things like that. But
now in warblers, what? There's a lot of different distinguishing features in a warbler, so you got to know what you're looking
for.
Yes,
there's a lot that look alike, too, especially like in yellows and everything.
Oh, is that right?
So, and when I do the program about learning how to bird, a lot of times people try to bird by looking at colors, and it's actually, like, that will confuse you more. And so that's one thing to stay away from, but it's hard because you see bright colors and you're drawn to it.
Yeah. Now, I've got a pretty nice bird book, but Do you recommend any particular?
King Kaufman has the best one, and I actually met him at McGee Marsh a few years ago. He was there, and it was really crazy. So that was cool. So,
wow, I guess. Yep. So a lot of people show up in McGee Marsh. What in May?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. That first couple weeks.
Yep. The first 2 weeks in May.
Okay. Yeah. And I bet you can hardly get in.
Yeah, it's crowded. And the first time I went, I went in high school with Mr. Pasma.
Yes.
And, you know, we didn't think birding was going to be this big thing. And then you go there and there's tons of people and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
It's a big tourist.
Yeah.
Isn't that
attraction?
Yeah.
People from all over the world and the U.S. come to this.
Wow. And now the migrators, are they coming down from Canada?
Are you talking about the warblers?
The migration.
Some of our winter species. Yeah, they're already back in Canada.
Yeah.
Like the juncos, the harriers.
Oh, yes,
the northern harriers.
But the birds are looking for the special birds that they go up to McGee Marsh for. Most of them are coming across the lake, are they?
Yeah, yeah. And they're heading their way up to northern Michigan, Canada region.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Now, what about a mute swan? Have you ever seen a mute swan?
I have. One time I found them at the Tallgrass Trail.
No kidding.
And that's a good thing because mute swans are invasive.
Yeah.
Because they'll outcompete the trumpeter swans,
which
are our native swans. Now, luckily, we have a lot of trumpeters at the trail and also at Bighorn Wildlife Area. But fortunately, when you go further up north, you get more and more mute swans, especially up by Lake Erie.
Right.
Because people purposely plant them there or put them there. Because they represent love and all that.
I remember I was up in some area, northern Michigan, and they claimed that was where the mute swans were.
Yes.
Bunches of them.
It killed a person.
Is that right? That
story I ever told you?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
So several years ago, around the Chicago region, some person got really close to their nest, and of course they were just defending. Well, it got the guy off the canoe. Well, as he kept trying to come up there, the swan kept pecking his head.
Oh my!
And eventually he drowned.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you get real close, they'll fight you.
That's right. Even the Canada goose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. They're aggressive too.
Sure are, and there's plenty of them.
Oh yeah, especially around Tri Rivers.
Oh yeah,
they're goslings.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep. Yeah, they're starting to get their flight feathers. So I don't know if you've paid attention around their treasures.
What all are these Canada geese eating?
Primarily grass, just vegetation.
Yep. Aha.
And then if there's any insects or what in the pond they'll eat that as well.
Well, now that answers the question. I thought, here are all these Canada geese, and what are they eating?
Yeah, they're primarily herbivores.
Okay. They leave behind traces of their occupation.
Oh, yeah. You definitely know that they're there.
Slip and slide.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any measures to control the Canada geese?
You mean there at Tri Rivers?
Or anywhere.
It just depends. And certain areas are better than others. Of course, golf courses are always trying to get rid of them because they always want to hang around the most popular golf hole.
Yeah, interesting. So you say they'll eat grass.
Yes.
Okay.
Grass, aquatic vegetation.
Sure.
Any macroinvertebrates in the
some people call and say, well, I saw a seagull. What's a seagull doing in this area?
There's a lot of different kind of gull species. And, a lot of the herring gull is the most common you'll see in parking lots.
Okay.
Or ring builds, too.
Mm-hmm. Emily, what are they eating?
I'm not
French fries.
Yes, any,
yes.
Just anything. They're scavengers.
I saw one eat pizza like Erie one time.
Okay.
So I mean, anything.
Anything that a human can leave behind.
Yes.
That's right. Wow. So they're just very adaptive.
Yeah, apparently so. You'll see them at times in occupying fields.
Yeah. I've seen Walmart parking lot. I've seen them there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, too, gulls will eat migratory birds, especially lot of warblers.
Oh no.
Yeah.
My. Okay, then speaking of that, the double-breasted cormorant.
We have quite a few at the trail right now.
Oh, there is?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Come at the lake, yep.
Now, what's their distinguishing characteristics?
So they're kind of like a pelican. They have that really droopy dewlap pouch on their neck, but they don't have that really big old bill that pelicans have. Fisheries hate cormorants, because one cormorant can eat almost 100 small fries or baby fish in a setting.
Oh my!
And if you just have one cormorant doing that, I mean, that could really,
you can imagine dozens of them.
Yeah, they're hurting your business.
Wow. Well, I know they ruin some trees at Lake Erie too.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Wow.
Because of the fish they eat, their poop is very acidic.
Oh. Okay.
And so, like she said, yeah, it hurts a lot of trees.
Is it, boy? Yeah, the great things in nature.
That's right. Yeah.
And that takes a lot of study.
Yeah,
it does. You just don't happen along and know everything in nature. It takes a lot of study and a lot of experience.
It does.
Well, and James, you're getting your share too.
I am.
Of course, how many years did you study?
Well, I did the 4 years, two at Hawking, two at Rio Grande, and then after that, all my different jobs, I've learned just different things.
Yeah,
and I'm always constantly learning, because the thing about nature, there's always something new to learn and discover.
And I've seen you pictured so many times in programs you're doing. That's great.
Yeah.
That's something we never had in Marion County up until your arrival at Marion County Park District with personnel.
It's hard to believe it's been 4 years.
Is that?
Yeah, since I've been with the Park District.
Okay, and that's about as long as the Park District's been here, isn't it?
Well, no, we've been around since 95.
Oh, since 95?
Yeah. Now, we've had different park directors.
Okay.
Jack Kellogg, Karen Kelly. Oh, I know I'm missing another one.
Yeah.
But their goal was really to help start the Park District, get our parks and all that.
I see. Okay.
So I'm the first naturalist that they have.
And I remember when I was with the Marion County Historical Society, and we hired Jack Telfer,
not Kellogg. Yeah, Jack Telfer.
Jack Telfer is the one that contacted the railroad.
Oh, yeah.
And inquired about buying.
Yes.
What is now the Tallgrass Trail.
Yeah, so there were many people that, you know, got the trail started and going, but I always say Dan really helped finish the project.
And when Jack told me what the railroad wanted, I thought, I think he said $375,000 at least.
I forget how much we put, but that original one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the first proposal was because they didn't want to, they were afraid that we'd get sued because of chemicals or what they used to ply on the railroad.
Yeah.
They wanted us to cut every tree down and then ply about 3 or 4 feet of dirt or other material.
Oh.
And boy, that would have costed a lot of money.
Yes.
And that would have looked real ugly with no plants.
Boy, it sure would, wouldn't it? Yeah, it reminds me of the time, too, when the water company put through there and had to spend, I think it was $15,000 or more, to make sure they weren't disturbing Mosauga rattlesnake. And Jack Kellogg, so to mention him, he told me, he said, you know, and he was building this new industrial area along Kellogg Parkway.
Okay.
He said, we can't cut down those trees because of the Indiana bats.
Yeah.
But I think he did cut some down regardless.
Yeah, we had to work close with the Division of Wildlife because of the Indiana and the long-eared bat, which are endangered.
Oh, okay.
So there was a certain period of when we could or could not cut the trees down.
No kidding.
So it was basically from Easter, or that's when we had to stop. So early winter to Easter, that was our time frame we were allowed to, because those bats were usually not roosting in trees. But after Easter, we couldn't cut a tree.
I wonder, did the ODNR or anybody ever inventory the bats?
They didn't find any at the trail, but they highly suspected they were there.
Yeah.
And so that's why we had to agree with the Division of Wildlife that we couldn't cut down a tree.
Well, we've got about 15 seconds left. Emily Cobble, sure good to have you along today.
Yes, thank you.
We'll look for next month, too.
That's right.
And you're going to be quite active. Dan. James, you'll be quite busy also.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Ohio State Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential contender and governor John Kasich.
On the other side, just a second to talk over on the Republican side, our Governor Kasich, last time I heard, has a 70% approval rating in Ohio. He's running neck and neck with Donald Trump. Who's going to carry Ohio tonight?
Well, I don't know. I think it's close. I assume Kasich probably will win. He's the governor. But I also find it curious that John Kasich has lost, I think, all 23 primaries he's been in, or 22, or whatever it is, caucuses and primaries he's lost. He's not won any one of them. yet if he wins today, his home state, they're considering him a major contender. And I guess I listen to these political pundits. They all have opinions. But, you know, John, Governor Kasich doesn't have many delegates, even if he wins Ohio, and he's far into fourth place that way. And so I don't know how he possibly gets the nomination in Cleveland coming up. But I also know, and you know, he's been, I guess I hope he comes back to the state and starts governing. I mean, he really hadn't been here much since July. And the media loves John Kasich. They always have. The people that own the newspapers usually love Republican governors. And he's gotten very little criticism for being out of the state the last 8 months. While our economy is doing worse than Michigan, our job growth is weaker than Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky, in spite of what we hear in campaign talk. But there's a lot of work to do in this state. The Sebring water, poisoning of the water there with lead, the state didn't do anything about. And, you know, the state needs to focus on the charter school scandal and all these problems that Ohio has that nobody's paying attention to because the governor's running for president. So I'm just hopeful he comes back to the state, realizes that this race is not his to win at this point when you're so far behind, even if he wins Ohio, and comes back and does the work we need.
And on being Hillary Clinton's vice president.
Very interesting. Before I let you go, Senator Brown, and I thank you for your time, the Hill reported today that a possible Clinton-Brown ticket could be, and NBC's Chuck Todd has suggested this, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow has floated around the idea. So I guess, Senator Brown, if asked, will you serve?
I have no interest. I really don't. I love what I'm doing here. I'm very flattered by that. I appreciate anybody thinking that. But I really don't want to be vice president. I want to continue to fight for middle class in Marion and Mansfield and all over the state.
So no chance as you
are? No, no interest. No,
no
chance.
No chance at all. Okay. Hey, well, that's a Sherman.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwg.